It's so great to be with you here today. Let me ask you, if you have your Bible, to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, that is toward the very back of your Bible, toward the end of the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 4. Just if you'll hang on to that place once you find it. Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, you are glorious. We honor your name. We bless you, Lord. We are available to you today. And we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus that the Holy Spirit would move in our midst still more, tightening our hearts together, changing, transforming our lives for your glory and for the common good. Father God, we pray that you would find us as children seated at your feet, as from this love letter, the Bible, you teach us how it is we might live purposefully for you. Oh God of heaven, may that begin with me as I stand here among friends and family. We are hungry for you. We believe you. We expect great things from you today. And we trust that we will leave here different than as we came in. Make it so, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus, and all of God's people said together, amen. Friends, would you write down this sentence? Would you write down this sentence? Pull out a piece of paper or grab your smartphone. As long as it's not a Samsung, we're okay. But if you capture this, uniquely gifted from God to bless others for God. Uniquely gifted from God to bless others for God. I'll say it one more time. Uniquely gifted from God to bless others for God. Every one of us who are disciples of Jesus Christ have been given by God, have been uniquely gifted by God, from God, a spiritual gift. This is our design from a holy God. We have been given a spiritual gift. Today we want to unpack that, find out a little more about what it means. In the most ancient days, along the dusty plains of the Sinai Peninsula, where the Hebrew people gathered for 40 years, one man stood up above most of them. His name was Bezalel. Bezalel. Bezalel was, it would appear, an engineer, an artist, a craftsman. And God called Bezalel to help design and construct the great worship center known as the tabernacle that the people of Israel would go to worship God. According to the man Moses, in Exodus 35, we hear this about Bezalel. Listen carefully, please. Moses said to the people of Israel, "See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, with intelligence, with knowledge, and with all craftsmanship to devise artistic designs, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting stones for setting and in carving wood, for work in every skilled craft. And God has inspired Bezalel to teach the people. Here is a man who has been granted by God, uniquely gifted from God, the gift of teaching the people. He's been given certain skills and gifts and passions in order to design, construct, rally the people. He is an engineer, an artist, and a craftsman. This is a man, listen to me, please. This is a man who has the unique privilege of integrating his spiritual gifts with his job, with his vocation. He can integrate his spiritual gifts with his vocation. This must be an ultimate sweet spot for somebody. He has integrated his spiritual gifts with his job, with his work. Now, that's not always the case. If we fast forward through the centuries, many, many centuries, in fact, we come to the Greek city of Corinth. We come to a very famous man named Paul, Paul the Apostle. According to the book of Acts, there in the city of Corinth, the Apostle Paul began to work out his vocation. Listen carefully to what the historian says. Paul went to Corinth, and he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. And Paul went to see them. And because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. Now, to be a tent maker meant that Paul and his friends, they spent their days working with leather and a variety of natural fabrics, materials, canvases and such. And they made tents in which people could live. They made awnings to cover shop doors and windows. They likely made curtains to separate rooms. They may well have made leather pouches and purses and bigger bags. Perhaps they made cloaks and other kinds of garments, but their specialty was awnings and tents. This was Paul's job. This was his vocation. He worked with his hands. And yet, the verse that immediately follows this description says this: they were tent makers by trade, and Paul reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks. Now, by reasoning in the synagogues, that would suggest that Paul was a teacher. Paul was an evangelist. He no doubt shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with the spiritually hungry who would listen. And he probably would unpack the great truths of God's word, the great doctrinal treasures from the heart of God. He was a teacher and an evangelist. But you'll note that unlike Bezalel, who seemed to be able to integrate his spiritual gifts directly into his vocation, it would appear that the Apostle Paul's spiritual gifts of evangelism and teaching did not directly correlate to the making of tents. And so sometimes our spiritual gift directly impacts and shapes our jobs, and sometimes our spiritual gifts maybe has a more indirect influence. And some of you right now are thinking about that. You're thinking about how God has hardwired you, what your gifts are, and you're trying to correlate those with your vocation, with your jobs. That's a good thing. Be thinking about it. For some of you, there's a direct connection. For others of you, it's more indirect. You might even feel like it's quite separate. Either way, our spiritual gifts, the unique gifting from God to bless others for God, has a holistic influence on our lives. And I want us to recognize that together today. Now, I'd like to share with you what I call the rule of 4 and 12. I know that sounds odd. The rule of 4 and 12. In fact, can you say that phrase with me? Ready? The rule of 4 and 12. And you might write it down. And what it represents is 1 Peter 4 and Ephesians 4 and Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. Thus, the rule of 4 and 12. 1 Peter 4 and Ephesians 4 and Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. Now, these four passages really unpack for us God's teaching about spiritual gifts. Now, some of us are already still in 1 Peter 4. I read to you the verse earlier. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. As each of you has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. This highlights our definition. It underscores our definition of a spiritual gift. And so, as each one, that is the uniquely gifted, each one has received a gift. We've received something. That means there's been a giver. We have received a gift from God, uniquely gifted from God. We have been gifted by God. Use it to serve one another. This is to bless others as good stewards of God's grace for God. Uniquely gifted from God to bless others for God. 1 Peter 4:10, Peter, the Apostle Peter, writing to his friends, he says, this is what spiritual gifting is about. As each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. And then he gives us a couple hints, if you will, about giftedness. He mentions a couple of them. He says in verse 11, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Uniquely gifted from God to bless others for God, for God's glory. Now, you'll notice the speaking and the serving. These are a couple of spiritual gifts that are mentioned. And one of them deals with the mouth. The other one deals with the hands. And in some ways, these summarize what are for us this sense of purpose that God has designed for all of us. That his disciples be people who steward their mouths for God's glory as they bless others, steward their hands for God's glory as they bless others. We see some specifics when we look in the other passages. Look with me, for example, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, this is the Apostle Paul. And he takes this sense of the mouth and the hands, the saying and the serving. He takes it further. Here's what he says. Verse 7, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. All right, so something is given to each of us according to what God has provided. Remember, unique gifting from God. Grace is given to us from God. Then we discover what it is exactly. Look with me, verse 11. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, and so forth. Now, these gifts here aren't tasks per se, but they are people. He's given certain people in order to build up other people. You have apostles, you have prophets, you have evangelists, you have pastors, you have teachers. But we can extrapolate from these people what the particular tasks or gifts or values are. And so, for example, when we see that teachers are raised up, intuitively we say, well, there must be a gift for teaching. We just heard from a man who has the gift of teaching on the video here a few moments ago. It would appear that if there are pastors, then there must be those who have the gift of pastoring, of shepherding, literally. That is, having a loving, protective, and life-giving influence over people. By the way, my personal spiritual giftedness, my unique gifting from God, with which I may bless others for God, is that I am a pastor and a teacher. These two gifts are who I am. It's what I do. It's what I know. I tell folks I'm not smart enough to do anything else. This is my life, pastor, teacher. We see here that some, if we look at the passage here, some are evangelists. Well, that would suggest that there's a gift of evangelism. And we know this is true. These white roses that we have on our platform, many folks just living day to day out in the marketplace, in the public square, in their homes, and so forth, many folks here at New Hope Church share the gospel. And praise God, and may we all keep it up. But then there are some who are uniquely gifted by God as evangelists. And so a goodly number of the men and women that come to know Christ week to week, as represented by these roses here, do so because of a select few who have just a unique gift for evangelism. And they go out and they just tell the story of the gospel over and over and over. And people are coming to Christ, and praise God for that. There's a gift for evangelism. We see here prophets. Well, that would suggest there's a gift of prophecy. I want to submit to you humbly and joyfully that our dear beloved Pastor Steve Gould was a prophet in his own time, a man who knew how to call righteousness with clarity. That is a gift of prophecy. We praise God for that kind of gift. We look and we see, for example, the gift of apostleship. That has to do with this holy leadership and the rallying of God's people for God's causes. And so while we see people here, we can extrapolate from this list of people what are some gifts, those unique gifts from God that are used to bless others. Look with me, if you will, in Romans chapter 12. That's a little bit to your left. Romans chapter 12. And if you'll notice with me, verse 4. As in one body, we have many members, the Apostle Paul writes to his friends in Rome. And the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. By the way, remember the definition you wrote down. Individual gifting, unique gifting. And right here we see we have gifts that differ one from the next according to the grace given. All right, look with me there. Verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them to bless others, according to the definition. And here Paul lays some of them out. If prophecy, we just talked about that, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service, some of you have the spiritual gift of serving, then in serving. The one who teaches, there's the teaching one again, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation, some of you have the gift of counseling people, exhorting them, loving them with biblical truth and with vision for God's purposes. the one who contributes in generosity. There are a number of us here who are just rich in generosity. We love to be generous. You don't have to be like wealthy to do this. You might be like the widow in the Gospels who has very little material supply and yet is exceedingly generous with what she has. Some of us are generous, rich in generosity. Some of us lead. The one who leads with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy. Some of you are leaders. You're leaders in the public square, in the political realm, in academia, in the business world. You're leaders in your church, in your families, in your neighborhoods. Others of you, you are people of mercy, people of peace. You're tender, you're caring, you're loving, you're gentle. And your presence just brings calm to people. These are gifts that God has given. Look with me, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Remember the rule of 4 and 12. 1 Peter 4, Ephesians 4, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. The rule of 4 and 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Paul, again, writes, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be uninformed." And then, look with me, verse 4. "There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone." Notice, by the way, the repetition of varieties. All right? God doesn't do cookie-cutter kinds of things. We're all different. There's so much diversity here in terms of giftedness, talent, passion, experience, position, platform in life, and so forth. And praise God for that. That's what makes us vibrant and unique. And one of the things we must resist, hear me please, one of the things we must resist is deciding that because your giftedness doesn't look like mine, then you might be in the wrong. That is sin. The Apostle Paul makes it clear. There's lots of services, ways to serve. There's different activities, different gifts, etc. All of this, though, is united together by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. I want you to notice verse 7. "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." Sounds like our definition again. Uniquely gifted from God. Each one, unique. That's why the word unique. Uniquely gifted from God. "To each one is given the manifestation of God's Spirit to bless others for the common good." Now, and then there's a handful of them that are mentioned here. Verse 8 and following. Wisdom is mentioned. Knowledge is mentioned. Faith is mentioned. Healing is mentioned. The working of miracles is mentioned. Prophecy is mentioned. Distinguishing between spirits. This means distinguishing between right and wrong, darkness and light, good and bad, etc. Discernment, you might say. Various kinds of tongues, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually, remember, uniquely gifted individually as God wills. Uniquely gifted from God to bless others for God. Every disciple here has a spiritual gift. Now let me share with you just some thoughts about that. One is that this is not an exhaustive list that I've just read off from these passages. I happen to believe that there are more than just the ones listed here. So, for example, I think a spiritual gift that's not mentioned directly is the gift of prayer. All of us need to pray, talk to God, have fellowship with God. But there are some in our midst here who have a unique calling and empowerment by God to be a person of prayer. And so, just like we all need to share the gospel, and yet some of us have the gift of evangelism, we all need to pray, and yet some of us, I think, have a special gift toward prayer. Well, that's not necessarily mentioned in these lists. I think that this is not an exhaustive list. These are just a select few of perhaps the most common or something of that nature. Another thing, very important, not only is it not an exhaustive list, at least in my mind, but it is also true that you may have more than one spiritual gift. I already mentioned that for me, I believe God has equipped me to be a pastor teacher. So in that sense, there's two right there. Some would say, those who I get to spend the closest time with would say, that leadership and encouragement might also be some gifts that are just part of my makeup by God. And so there's more than one for me. And I suspect if you discern this, there's more than one for you. That would be very common. Now, a third thing I want to mention, besides the idea that this isn't an exhaustive list and there may be more than one for you, a third thing I want to mention is very important. It's very important. Is that our spiritual gifting conditions us to thrive. Listen to me, please, dear friends. Our spiritual gifting conditions us to thrive in our vocation, in our jobs. Now, you may say, but wait a minute, Pastor. A little while ago, you contrasted Bezalel and Paul. And Bezalel could integrate his spiritual gifts into his vocation, but it would appear that the Apostle Paul could not, that he was a tent maker, and over here he's preaching. And that is true, but I want to submit to you that even with all of that said, celebrating and using our spiritual giftedness still conditions us to thrive in our vocation for this reason, if for no other reason, because we are then conditioned to bless others. Because we're conditioned to bless others. And so even if my spiritual gifts don't directly correlate to my job, by using my spiritual gifts, I am conditioned to bless others. And so I take that value system into my workplace, and I am in my workplace all about blessing others. Remember what, I almost said the Apostle Paul, but Pastor Paul said last week. Great sermon, great message from Jeremiah 29 about God's mandate for us to bless our city, to bless our community, to bless others. Okay? And so our spiritual gifts, even if they don't directly correlate to the actual job that we have, those gifts condition us to think about others, to bless others, and that shapes our job. Now, by the way, a great example is found in the book of Acts. You don't need to turn there, but you might write it down. Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, we find this. The Apostle Paul is talking about his job, his vocation, his tent making, and the way that God uses it for God's glory. He says, you yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. He's talking about his work, his vocation as a tent maker. He says, you know that these hands, I supported myself. He's contrasting the fact that he didn't take money from people. He actually had a job where he worked in the public square. He was a tent maker. He says, these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. Don't lose sight of the phrase, to those who were with me. There's an other-centeredness there. Verse 35 says, in all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul's saying, in my work as a tent maker, I still have this driving passion to unpack the story of God so people see Jesus. And I'm going to do it by being the very best tent maker I can be so that people are compelled by whatever is going on in my life and by what I can share. And so it is, proclaiming the gospel and teaching doctrinal truth might not correlate directly into the making of tents and awnings, but it conditions him to bless people who are his customers and his co-workers and the people that cross his pathway there in the marketplace, in the city like Corinth. I want to share with you, if I may, just some takeaways, and I'd encourage you to write these down. They're very important here as we wrap up. One of them is this. Regarding your spiritual gifts, regarding the unique gifting from God that is yours, so that you might bless others for God. Here's the first takeaway. Personally assess what might be your spiritual gifts. Do a personal assessment. What might be, what drives you? What gets you out of bed in the morning? What really fulfills you? What is it that excites you? Seriously and humbly contrast that with what wears you out, what gets you down, what suffocates you. Think through why, what, and so forth. Personally assess yourself and what your spiritual gifts might be. A second takeaway is listen to your community. Listen to your community. What do the people around you tell you about you? I'll give you an example. Many of you have heard me say that when I was growing up, I wanted to be a lawyer. I went off to college in order to go into law. But my one semester that I was there, I was asked if I would teach a Bible study on campus. And so I started doing that, just thought, why not? And felt led from the Lord to do that, started doing that. And before too long, my friends were coming up to me and they were saying, you know, we know you want to be a lawyer, but this really seems like your sweet spot. Have you thought about being a pastor? And so what do your friends tell you, about what they see in your life, about what seems to be working, about how they perceive your passions and so forth? What do your friends tell you? What is your community? Listen to your community. Third thing, give yourself time to figure it out. Don't put undue pressure on yourself. You don't need to be in a hurry. Give yourself time to figure it out. Take time. I mentioned to you that in that semester, God, through the voices of those around me, really impressed on me the need to go into vocational ministry, probably to be a pastor. But you know, the reality is, it was probably another 4 years maybe, for God to really show me with clarity that it was to be a pastor teacher as opposed to, say, a missionary or a professor of theology or something like that. And so take time. Time's okay. The goal is that you're just moving forward. You're stepping forward. Now, yet another takeaway. Develop and hone your gift. Develop and hone it. Read up on it. Take some classes. Find a mentor. Just be available. Be teachable. The Apostle Paul went to seminary for years. That's why he could be such a master teacher on the great truths of God's will and purposes for creation. Bezalel, no doubt, spent years developing his craftsmanship so that when God called him to build the tabernacle, it was because Bezalel had already had a wealth of experience that prepared him for it. Hone and shape and develop your skill. Can I just say, I have been doing what I do now for well over 2 decades, and I still desire earnestly to be a lifelong learner so that I can do what I do still better for the glory of God and for you. So let me encourage you, hone and develop yourself. And then yet another one, and this is maybe the most important one. Listen carefully here. We'll begin to wrap up with this. Bless your space. What is your space? The realm in which you live, the place where you work, bless it. Remember, unique gifting from God to bless others. Can we say those three words together? To bless others. Ready? To bless others. Bless your space. Some of you are in a job that you think is menial, that you think in the public view probably is looked down upon. Bless your space. Bless the people that are there. It might be something that you truly feel is beneath you somehow. It's just, you're just surviving. You're just there. You're toughing it through. But can I encourage you, bless your space nonetheless. Bless your space. Others of you, you're in a position that is just, in the world's view, glorious and grand, influential. Bless your space. Bless your space. Be just. Be honorable. Lead well. Bless your space. You don't need to have it all figured out on your giftedness. You might still be developing. You might be taking time. Either way, bless your space. I had a friend, have a friend. His name is Walt Baker. Walt was a professor at the graduate school that I went to. He was on the faculty for over 40 years. Walt's a good friend and a mentor. And one day we were talking and he said, Matthew, he says, you know, I've been on the faculty at this school for over 40 years, but I have never taught a class. I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. I've been in your class. What are you talking about? I've sat in the classroom. You're up front. I've taken notes. I've listened to your lectures. He said, no. I've never taught a class, but I have taught thousands of people. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a big difference. Reframe your world, your vocation, so that you're blessing those in it. Don't just do the job. Bless your space. Don't just teach a class. Teach people. Or fill in the blank with whatever your gift is and go and bless in the name of Jesus. Father, dismiss us now for your glory. We have worshiped here today. And we are going to head out into our week and worship wherever we find ourselves, because you have made us uniquely gifted to bless others for you. And all of God's people said, amen. Take care, friends. We'll see you next week.